Good morning. A number of people have asked me to one week to bring a number of copies of my Sefer Business Halacha to sell. I've kept on pushing people off, and I'd like to spend this morning's shiur to use it as an opportunity to explain why I haven't brought in and sold any of the Sefarim. The problem is, I don't know how much it's worth. He'll set the price. What's the issue? When Art School published the Sefer, the list price is $23. Now, the arrangement that Art School makes with all the authors is that the authors buy it at a very steep discount, but they're concerned that if the authors would walk around selling it for $15, they would undercut the Svarim stores, and people wouldn't want to carry any Art Scroll books in the future. So in the contract, they write that an author cannot discount it more than 10%. The 10% off list. So if the list price is $23, I can knock off 10% and sell it for $20.70. You round it up, that's
$21. And the store discounts at 20%.
Now the problem is that, at least I'm from Lakewood, so when the Sefer first came out, I took a quick survey of the stores in Lakewood. And it turns out there are three Sefarim stores. One of them is always known, it's very, very, very good pricing. They sold it for $16. The other two stores sold it for $18. So what is that now? As far as Hilchos HaNeor is concerned, we've learned that if you overcharge someone more than its market value, there's an Issur D'oraisa of HaNeor. Now, the list price is $23. Is that the fair market value of the Sefer? Absolutely not. Every store in Lakewood sells it for less. The fair market value is $18. Now, if I'm going around and I'm selling it for $21, that's HaNeor. And what's the shiur? Now, HaNeor, we learned there are three shiurim. Up to a sixth, we learned there's no recourse. If it's exactly a sixth overpriced, it's kano umachzor HaNeor, the sale stands, you have to refund the money. If it's more than a sixth overpriced, then the whole deal is off. The person can return the Sefer, and he is entitled to a full refund.
If you're talking where it's on the Sefer, it says $23, it's printed.
No, it's not printed on it. It's not printed on it, because they want to raise, they want the opportunity
it's
to...
It's an arbitrary figure they put
out. Yeah, that's the list price. So if the stores are all selling it for $18, and I have to charge $21, how much is that? That's HaNeor of a sixth. So halacha would be, anyone who bought the Sefer from me would be able to come back to me the next day and say, it's HaNeor, I want the $3 back.
Would you sell it for 27?
For what?
27.
27? Sell it for 27. So now we have a wonderful etzah. Really, I'm allowed to give a 10% discount, which means I can sell it for $20.70. Now, if I do that, how much is the HaNeor? It's less than a sixth. If it's less than a sixth, everything should be fine. But not so simple. Because everyone here today went through the rush. The rush clears the following shaila. What's the pshat that if you overcharge someone by less than a sixth, that the person doesn't get a refund? So rush says there are two possibilities. One pshat is that really, HaNeor is HaNeor. If you overcharge someone by a pruta, any amount, you're taking advantage of him, and you're over an issa. Elamai. If a person gets ripped off by a dollar, by $2, by a minimal amount, he knows it's going to be very hard to recover the money, because you're going to go to Beis Din, you're going to go fight what the fair market value is, you're going to bring in an expert to testify, this person says the car is worth this amount, the other person will be off by a few dollars this way, a few dollars that way. Up to a sixth, it's not worth the hassle. You don't know whether Beis Din's going to agree with your assessment anyway. You're just meichel. You move on with life. And that's why you don't get the refund. If that's the case, that means, really, as far as the issue is concerned, you're overcharging by a pruta, you're over an issa d'oraisa. Just as far as paying the money back, if it's less than a sixth, the customer is going to give up, he'll be meichel, he'll move on. If that's the case, then if I would charge $20.70, it's less than a shtus, I won't have to give a refund, but it'll be an issur d'oraisa. There's mechilo. There's no chiyuv latis deshemayim pashtus, but you have to. There's a chiyuv to be mefayis the person, and if you have a chiyuv to be mefayis the person, the most effective way to be mefayis him is with a few dollars. That's one side in the rush. The rush says maybe not. Maybe the pshat is that everything has a value, but people are people. You have a customer who comes in. He desperately wants something. He doesn't have time to shop around. He's willing to pay a little bit of a premium to get the item he wants it now. And the flip side also, you have a merchant, even though there's a price that he normally wants, there's a fair market value. If he has to clear some inventory, he has a big order coming in, he just wants to raise some cash, he'll sell it at a couple of dollars cheaper. Therefore, Zuck the Rush, perhaps within a sixth, that is considered the normal derech hamischar. It's considered close enough. It's within the shar, and therefore the Rosh says perhaps that's why it's mutter. If that's the case, then the pshat is not. It's oino, but there's mechila because the guy gives up. He won't be able to get a refund. The pshat is it's not oino in the first place. Within a sixth is considered a legitimate price, and if that would be the case, then, as long as I would sell it for $20.70, it would be mutar l'chadchila. Now, the ma'aseh of the Rosh is machriya that he's not poshut the suffik, and he says it's sarach iyun, and a yari shemayim should be yidei shnehem. Person should be machmir on both ends. There's no clear hachra, and therefore it is a suffik issa d'oraisa, and the person should be machmir. The Nei Sekelim add that what does it mean you should be machmer on both ends? It means that if you're the person, if you're the seller, and you know it's overpriced even by any amount, you should be machmer. You should charge exactly the fair market value. But if you get ripped off, if you're on the receiving end, you shouldn't have tainus on the person. You shouldn't be teveya him and say you did an avera because perhaps it was mutar l'chadchila. And the Chassam Sofer adds another point. Let's say you go out in the summer, you go on vacation, you go to Eretz Yisrael. Now you know good and well, when you walk into certain tourist traps in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to see you, they're going to hear your American accent, and you're going to be taken for a ride. Zakach Sam Sofer, if you know someone is going to rip you off by pachas mishdos, by less than a sixth, you should walk in lechachila with a kavana to be moichel. Either way, you're not getting your money back. The halacha is less than a shtos is mechila. You're not entitled to a refund. Memela, a person should instead of being a michshol, the other person to avoid him being over any isu daraisa, be moichel lechachila that you agree you're willing to pay up to a six over, and since you're not losing anything because anyway there's no recourse, that's what a yari shemayim should do. So again, when you're in a situation, you know you're going to be taken advantage of, and there's no recourse, you may as well do it with a kavano that you're going to be moichol l'chadchila.
Are there two market prices for American
Israelis? Well, it depends who you ask. Okay, we'll get to that. Now, based on this rush, the Chavetz Chaim has a gevaldik chiddush. Let's say a person is in a store, he's about to buy something, or, you know, person comes over to me, he asks me for a copy of Business Halacha, I tell him no problem, $21. Now, you happen to be overhearing the conversation, so you tap the fellow on the shoulder and tell him, by the way, you should know, if you go to the Sforum store down the block, you can get it for $18. Are you allowed to do that? So, for those of you who still remember Ani Matid B'Charara, that's also. Since the person was about to buy by me, and Chassam Sofer adds, if he's in a store about to buy something, is even more chomer to interfere with that sale, is ani mahapi b'charara. Zot Chavetz Chaim. That's only true when I'm selling it for a fair value. On the other hand, if I'm trying to be ma'aneh the person, I'm ripping him off. There, not only is it not ani mahapi, you have a chiv to tell him. You have to prevent the issa from happening. So if you see a person about to be taken advantage of, a seller is going to overcharge him, and you'll be over in Israel, no? There not only is it mutter, but there is a chiyuv to go and tell them and prevent the issur from happening. Now that's very clear. If the Einah, if it's worth $18, and a person is trying to sell the book for $21, what happens if I use your Eitzah? I'm selling it for $20.70. In other words, I'm overcharging him by less than a sixth. Is someone allowed to come along and tell the person, don't buy it, you can do better elsewhere? So now we have a problem. Because if we go with the Rosh's Shatad, that it's really Aser, but just there's a Mechila, if it's an Iser, then the outsider has a proactive Chiyuv to go ahead and prevent the Iser from happening. So he has a Chiyuv to tell the person, don't buy it here, you can do better, you buy it for $18 in the Sfarim store. However, what about the other Tzad? The other Tzad in the Rosh is, that it's Mutzu L'Charchila. If it's within a sixth, that's called fair market value. If that's the case, doesn't Lafrusha Meir Surah? And that, then, if he goes ahead and tells the person not to buy it, he's being over on him hapach. Perhaps it's a Issur Lashon Hara also. Because now, excuse me? Well, it's both. The Chiyuv Teichacha would be on me, but if I'm not going to listen, and this person's going to be stuck, then it's mutter to tell him. What? Enochanami, but you still have the right to tell him if it's oino. The same way if you see someone about to rob another person, if the only way to prevent the robbery is to warn the victim, there's no issur lashon hara. Oino is the equivalent of robbery. I'm taking money that I'm not entitled to. So if the only way, forget the issur, if you can prevent it by telling me privately, so Chavetz Chaim says the heter of lashon hara is only when there's no other way to accomplish the goal. But let's say the moicher is not going to listen. So now you have two choices. You either warn the lokeach and now he won't buy, or you keep quiet. In this case, the lokeach doesn't know. So it's not. So now we have a problem. Because if we go, there's an Isser Aino for any amount, then there's a chiyuv to warn him. If there's no Isser Aino, then it's Aser to warn him. So Chavetz Chaim says, Tzarechin, the Rosh, there's no hachra on the Rosh, and therefore you have to be machmer both ways. Shev al tasa, you don't say anything, and because you don't have the right to interfere, there's lashon hara, and therefore you have to keep quiet. The only time you can make a machra is when it's clearly at least a shtus, when at least a sixth overpriced. Now, so getting back to our case, people ask about buying business halacha, selling it for $21 doesn't work because it's a shtus. Selling it for $20.70 is a suffix in the rush, and therefore it's al pidin the mechaber paskins a person should not do it. Now, of course, by oinah is a benod mechaberoi. People have the right to be moicho. We're going to see next week how the mechila works. But if you do disclose, if you tell the person, I'm selling it for $21. Really, if you go down the block, it's $18, and I'm selling it to Al-Banash, and L'cholai, I know, we're going to see it's going to work. It doesn't help the sales very much. And therefore, in a practical sense, it doesn't really work. And that usually is why I tend not to sell the Sfarim.
Charge for the
autograph. Okay. Okay, so that's the next question, and that is let me bring it out the following way. Good. That's the next issue. The question is, how do you define market value? Now, apparently, also when Biz Halacha was first published, someone brought it to my attention that one of these websites was selling it. And their price was $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Now, person brought it to my attention. So I was sent the gentleman a very polite email. He was able to leave a comment to the seller. I thanked him very much for helping me, assisting me in getting the message out and spreading the halachos of Chosh and Mishpat. But I said, please refer to chapter 1 about Oinoah. And you'll see that overcharging more than the fair market value is Aser. If the list price is $23 and you're selling it for $30, that's clearly Oinoah. Now, believe it or not, the gentleman responded. And what he wrote back was that... What he wrote back was that the $23 is a list price. The internet price has a different price. A different char. A new lumdus. So let's put that aside. But let's deal with a concept. How do we determine what the char, what the fair market value of the price is? Now, the Beis Yosef brings down from Meir Yeruchim, the first Yisoid, and that is, if you want to know what the value is, you have to look at the city, the place, the time that the item is being sold. Every city has a different shahr. If you want to know how much something costs in Midtown Manhattan, it's going to cost you more than how much than the price in Muncie. The price in Muncie is very likely more than the amount you'll pay in Lakewood. Every city has a different market, has different dynamics, and therefore, if you want to compare, if you want to figure out what la halacha you're allowed to charge, you have to look at that shahr, that city. Now, although it's not discussed mefurish, today, even within a city, there are breakdowns. If you're looking for a parking spot in Manhattan, there's going to be a tremendous variance between midtown, uptown, downtown, different areas. Again, parking spots, karka, schiros, we'll deal with that, cover that in a different shiur. But you have to look, you have to be comparing apples to apples. The market for a parking spot is probably in a two-block radius. Because once you're further, people, when they're looking for a spot, they want a spot local. And therefore, if this block or the two blocks has a certain price, what the price is across town is totally irrelevant. You're looking for a spot next to where you're working, next to where you're going. On the other hand, if you're buying a car, the price of a car, it doesn't change by the block. When someone's buying a car, they'll travel across the town to buy the car in the place that they want at the best price. And therefore, the market for larger goods is probably a bigger geographic area than something which is more location-specific. Now, another issue that you have to look at is you have to look at the service that's being provided. How much is 12 ounces of Coca-Cola worth? Now, it depends. If you go into a grocery store and you buy a can of soda, it's going to be one price. If you go into a hotel lobby in Midtown Manhattan, it's going to be a different price. Now, there, it's not so much a question of location. You can have a grocery store next to a hotel, and the price discrepancy is going to be the same. So there, it's not the location. It's the service. When you're sitting in a hotel lobby, you're not just paying for the drink. You're renting the lobby. You're paying for the whole environment, the setting, the ambiance. You're paying for a lot of the service involved. You're not just paying for the liquid that you're going to drink. And therefore, whenever you look at a sale, you're going to have to look at not just the chafetz itself, the service that's provided. The Ma'abit, in Chelek Gimel, Siman Tzadi Zayin, has a case. A person bought an item, it was worth $50, and he bought it on credit, and he paid $60. He woke up a few days later and said, "It's Oinoah, you overcharged me." Zakhtar not bid, nothing doing. Because although the item may be worth $50, when you buy on credit, you're not just buying the item, you're buying the item and you're getting basically a loan. So, good. My bit's talking about in Hilchos Ribbis. But if you want to determine in Hilchos Oinoah whether he's been overcharged, you have to look at what the value, what the price is when you buy this on credit. Because there's a service that's being thrown in. Now, the Chavis Das takes it a step further. He says, not only are you going to have to take into account this credit, how much is credit worth? You buy a car. So if you buy it in cash, it'll cost you $20,000. What's it worth to buy on credit? The answer is, it depends on his credit score. You have to look at this gentleman, you have to look at his credit history, you have to look at the risk. It's a different price. And whatever the Chavis Das says, you'll have to do a shumo. You'll have to look at this particular buyer, what his financial situation is, and you'll have to look at that before you figure out I know. And the Chavisdas says once you have to do that because it's a choiv, we're going to learn a choiv, selling a choiv has different halachas. There may not be I know. We'll get to that a different week. But his point is you have to look not just at the fact that there's credit, you have to look at the particulars involved with the credit. Now, the Imre Yosher, Schel Beis and Reish Nun Hei, has a fascinating case. A person had a liquor store. One day, someone comes in from out of town. He says he's also in the liquor business. He needs 500 gallons of schnapps. He bought out the person's entire inventory. And he paid in cash. The moicher thought today, well, wow, this is today's lucky day, an amazing sale. Lekeach buys the merchandise, he buys the liquor. And a few hours later, the moicher hears that back in Albany, they just imposed a new tax on liquor. And the price now went up, because moichrim are charged a much higher. Now it seems the lekeach just came from Albany. The law had just been passed, so he went to this new city, and he bought up the whole merchandise. He paid much less than its true value. Is that oino or not? What's the value? The law was passed, but people don't know about it yet. Zavdim Riyoshim. It depends. If people knew, most people in the shuk knew about it, and therefore people raised their prices, and this particular seller was behind the times, that's oino. Because once most people raise the prices, that becomes the new shah. However, if no one knew about it yet, you're the only one, you came straight from Albany on the express, no one else raised their prices, the price is still the same. And therefore, even though you had this information, you're going to make a killing off it, since at the time that you bought it, this was the market value, this is what the transaction, this was the price, it wouldn't be oino. Now again, he has a shmuz of Gnevis Das and Nefech Tois, and there'll be other issues. But as far as Hilchos Oino is concerned, we look at what people are selling it for. We don't look at what should be or what could have been. That will be the shock. Now another interesting case, the Tashbeit has such a case where everyone got together, the Mokrim got together and they decided whatever the fair market value was, when you sell to a Jew, you charge him $10 extra. That was the rule. So here in Tashbeit says it's Pasha there's I know. Even though now every Jew that buys is at a higher price, since this price is artificial, whatever they sell to a Goy, it's in the old price, so anything that you're adding on is clearly going to be I know. He says even Pachas Meshtus is going to be Aser, and that's a case where there'll be an Aser. Let's deal with which is probably the most common issue. And that is, whatever industry you're in, again, everyone here sells something else, whether you're selling chafetz or whether you're in the service industry, everyone sells items. What is the value of your goods? In all likelihood, it depends who your competitors are. Anything that you buy, you want to buy a camera, you want to buy a car, you'll go into different. It depends where you go. Different stores will sell it at different prices. And therefore the question is, how do you deal with a situation where the market is very fragmented, where if you go into 10 different establishments, you'll likely get 10 different prices. In Hilchos Oino, how are we going to determine what the fair value is, and what number are we going to basically know of? Now this issue, there's a lot of machloikis involved in contemporary poiskim. I'm going to go through the basic shitas. The first maramachim is the Beis Yosef in Simen Reish Zayin has a case of Mashi Izi Chalev. As a person needs money, he's a farmer, he's about to go bring his goats to get milked. He needs cash, so he cuts a deal with a fellow. There's a speculator there. He tells him, listen, give me, you know, goat's milk costs $5 a gallon. My goats usually will produce 50 gallons. Give me $150 now, and you'll buy whatever it produces. So halacha over there is the Beis Yosef Nemzon. There's no Isser Oino. In fact, the Beis Yosef, why not? You paid $150, and if at the end of the day you get milk which is worth $250, There should be I know. No. He says the Isser I know is only when there's a Shar Kavua. When there's a set price for goods. If there's a set price, everyone knows the price, and you take advantage of a person, you charge them more, that's I know. However, since the futures market for goat's milk is not a Shar Kavua, not that many people buy it, there's no set price, therefore the Beis Yosef says there's no Isser I know. And what it sounds like from this is, if there's no clear price, people just sell. Some people sell for more, some people sell for less. According to the Beis Yosef, there will be no Isser I know. Now the problem is that although this is the Shita of the Beis Yosef, the Shach, the Bach, the Prisho, all the Chavis Das, all the Achroinim over there in Simon Reish Zayin argue on the Beis Yosef, even the Beis Yosef doesn't bring down this Pshat in the Mechaber. And therefore, the halacha is very difficult to be soimich on this. It seems, according to Kamad, all the other achroinim, even if there's no shar kavu, even if there's no set price, still bring an expert, bring a shamoi, have someone figure out what the fair price should have been, and the iser oino should apply according to most paiskim.
Why don't we say buying futures is qualitatively different? I mean, it's a total, in order to compare all the people who buy futures, they're all paying what you're paying. It's just that on the retail price.
That's okay. Again, there is discussion by the Beis Yosef is Mustamba talking about there is no futures. First of all, there's no futures market there. It wasn't, they didn't have, you know, exchanges there, and there was no, it wasn't kavua how much you pay, because this is a funny case. And even there, the Beis Yosef is saying, since there's no set amount that people would pay for mash izi chalavas, therefore there would be no oino, even if you would speak to people and they would tell you that wasn't a fair price. It's not a shtar kavua. Now, one case where actually this Beis Yosef is brought down Malacha is, how much is a nice esterig worth? How much is a nice esterig worth? The answer is, it depends to who. It depends to who, it depends on the marker, it depends on exactly when. So Beis Yitzchok says, and it's based on this Beis Yosef, there's no I know for esterigim. Since everybody knows the price changes by the minute, and it changes depending on who's walking through the door, he says there's no shar kavua. In this case, he says you can say kimli. So if he suggests that perhaps everyone would agree because everyone knows that there's no real price. And then he says, even if you don't like that lomdus, he says you can say kimli like the Beis Yosef. He goes, Beis Yitzchok says it as an imtim tzalim. Now the problem is, what about the other shittas? Most places can argue in the Beis Yosef, even if there's no shar kavu, even if there's no set price, or you know will apply. How do you figure out what the shar is? Now in Hilchos I know there's very little discussion about this. However, what happens if you buy a camera? And you're way out of the store, someone comes over to you, gets angry, takes your camera and smashes it on the floor. He's a mazik. He has to pay you. How much does he owe you? So, the first answer is whatever you paid for it. But that's not true. Because if you overpaid for it, he's not responsible for that. He destroyed a camera. He has to pay you the fair market value of the camera. What you paid is irrelevant. Now, how are we going to figure out how much this camera is worth? So there are all sorts of halachas in Siman Kuf Gimel about doing a shuma when you have to be goyva choyv when there's a mazik. What we do is, if there's no clear value, we hire three experts who come down. They'll assess the value of the goods. And they'll give you their opinion. If they all agree, we follow that. We follow whatever that number is. If two out of the three agree to one price, also we go basarov, and we'll follow that price. Now, if we compare that to Oino, if you have a situation where most stores sell it for one price, and then you'll have other stores, it's 60% sell it for one price, the other 40 sell it in a range. So if you go bust a roiv, if roiv sell it for one price, it means that 60% would be the price. Anything above that or anything below that would be oino. What happens if you hire three assessors and you get three different answers? So here is machlokes rishonim. The Rambam, and which is what the Mechaber Paskins like, says, you take the highest assessment, you take the lowest, and you cut it in half. The midpoint, the average between the highest and the lowest. Which will mean, if one assessor comes in at 80, the other at 90, the other at 120. So we'll take the highest, which is 120, the lowest, which is 80, The average of that will be 100. And 100 will be the price. Even though nobody said it's worth 100. It was 80, 90, 120. But what we'll do is, again, we take the highest, we take the lowest, and the midpoint is its value. The reason for that is we assume the experts know what they're talking about, and we want to minimize their error. This way, no one is off by more than 20. That's the shita around them. The Sma argues, and the Sma is medayah from a number of Rishonim, that we don't take the top of it, but what we do is we take the middle assessor. We take 90. Why? Because if you have 80, 90, and 120, two out of three agree it's not worth more than 90. Right? The one that said 80 and 120 is not worth 90. Two out of three also agree it's not worth less than 90. Because both 120 and 90 both agree it's not less than 90. And therefore, since Roiv assessors say it's not more than 90, it's not less than 90, you have a Roiv saying 90 is the number, even though it's only one person actually said 90. Now, based on this, some poskim say that if you want to figure out what a no is, you go Basar Roiv. You take a list of the prices that are in the shuk, and you take the middle price, not the middle in numbers, but you take all the prices that are there, and
The mode,
correct. You correct the mode, and that will be it, because again, Roiv agree that the mode is correct. And some people will pass them like this. Now, if you realize, this is a tremendous chumrah, because it means, kamat everyone in the shuk is over Roinu. Because the mode, there's only one person, and there may be a case where only one person is the mode. Everyone else is either above or below. Everyone else will be, if it's pachas mishtos, it will be a shiloh. If it's more than a shtos, it's pachas the over Roinu. And some places can say that enachrami. Unless you're selling anything, you have to make sure, figure out what the mode is, and that is the amount that that you can charge.
No shy. Everyone gets it from the publisher. You don't have a shy yet. Everyone has to set a price when it comes into the store.
What? No one sold it yet?
Yeah,
once it's being sold, you take a survey, you figure out the shahr. If no one's selling it yet, there's no shahr. If you're the only meicher, if you have a monopoly, you can sell it for whatever you want.
You got 100 meicher, but probably everyone gets it on Tuesday, Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Right.
And everyone has to put it on the store. It's on the
Again.
So what do you wait? Where do you start?
Okay. Fair enough. You probably use the standard markup over there. Now it's interesting because you can't really walk around saying that every single meicher is ever a soina. So the poskim that follow this shita and say you go with a mode have another chiddush that I know b'shoigig is not awesome. Again, it's a whole. The Torah really says it is, but it's a whole. It's a whole dream. We're not going to go into the machlokas. But I know b'shoigig is mode. You'll have to give back the money if it's soina. But the issur you're only over if you do it on purpose. So that way, even though they're saying that kamat everyone is charging the wrong price, but you don't have to accuse everyone of being over an issur because it's b'shoigig. The poskim that don't
what? Most people research
before they price the contracts. Even if you do research, you don't know what the mode is of all the sellers.
Mode exactly.
Correct. It's impossible. So that's what these sheetas will do. So like this. Walmart, like we said before, you have to compare different equivalent services. Walmart and a local store are giving different services. The local store, you walk in, the person will give you advice, they'll tell you what to do, and people with Dafka want to shop there because they're getting service, they're getting something they're not getting in Walmart.
Or if they want to be able to take the street, if they want to shop and it's convenient, it's next to the store, every aspect presents a different experience. So what is it about or not that you're not... To the extent the person's buying there, is it because of lack of knowledge that they...
Correct. Correct. That's a fair way of being magdur. If the only reason why people are buying in this store is because of lack of knowledge, I think everyone agree that's I know. If people are buying here because there's superior service, because, you know, compare Walmart to a small grocery, a 7-Eleven. When you walk into a supermarket, you want milk and bread. So the milk is going to be in the back right corner on the far side, because everyone needs milk every day, so they force you to walk through the entire store to get the milk. The bread is on the other corner. And that way, they're going to... So to stop to buy milk and bread, it's going to take you 15, 20 minutes. You go and you pull into a local grocery, you pull up right in front of the store, you walk in, the milk, the bread, you're out in five minutes later. It's a different service. And people will shop there knowing it's more expensive because they're paying a premium for the convenience. That's not going to be an oil. It's a different service. You can't compare the two.
To the extent it's not because of lack of knowledge, it's not really knowledge. Because every experience is different, somewhat different.
Okay, everything's experience. If you have two locations, there's the locations are somewhat different. You have to, but it's not something that people do not pay more to because of the stores next door because of the location. There has to be something, there has to be a premium, there has to be something that there is some added value that they're paying for. If there is added value for the different service, then there won't be a no because they're paying for that difference. Correct. Unless it's lack of knowledge, which
is
okay. What the internet will tell you is it will help for a commodity, and it'll help you if you're looking to buy something over the internet and get shipped and go get it in the next few days, you'll be able to determine what that price is. On the other hand, if you want it now and you want advice from someone, that's a local store price. And that's not so easy to compare. If you go to three stores, you'll figure that out. But if you walk into one store and you trust the guy is a Haimish Yid, he's not going to take advantage of you. And he charges you well above what his competitors charge. And his competitors are also giving the same. Good. That's the internet price. So if he's buying internet service, then that's the internet price. But if he doesn't want that, he wants it today and he wants advice. Excuse me? So yeah, if your point, why are people buying the 30? Because they saw the 2 and they're clicking on the higher one because he's a more reliable seller. He's a more reliable seller and he has better return policy, that's a service. If he's clicking on it because he didn't do a search, right? Then you're just taking advantage of his lack of knowledge. The fact that had he been more savvy, he could have figured it out, is not a heter or not. Now again, if you look at the prices, you'll see that an established seller that has a good reputation will always charge a few dollars more. That premium is something that people willingly pay because they're getting extra service. But you can't compare that to a website that takes advantage of people who just stumble upon it without doing the right search and get overcharged.
What about in the same store, they sell, let's say, 5 copies of the book? The lowest price is $1.89, the most expensive is $2.60. And then you have the goes from $1.99 to $4.99.
So why are people paying the difference? Usually it's because it's a different hechsher. It's a different service. One is hechsher A, people are willing to pay a premium for. Now, whether it makes sense or not, or whether it really is a better hechsher, I'm not going to get into, but the market value of something with a better hechsher is more. What? Fine, but it still has a different hechsher. Okay, let me just finish up the Aruch HaShulchan, then. The Aruch HaShulchan says a tremendous chiddush. What the Aruch HaShulchan says is essentially like this. The cases of Einoah, and even the Beis Yosef, is a case, there's a shar, there's a set price. It may be a well-known price, it may not be a well-known price. To deviate from that is going to be osur, shtos, pachas mishtos, that's the classic case of oino. Zog the Aruch HaShulchan, today the market works differently. And today you can have 2 sha'arim for 1 chefetz. You'll have something, if 60% of the stores sell it for one price, and 40 sell it for another, he says, that's not oino. There are 2 prices. When there's one price, and people will take advantage of unsuspecting customers, and they'll take advantage here, take advantage there, then there's a no, we'll figure out what the price is, that will be the no. But when there are 2 common prices, they're both, again, he doesn't give numbers, whether it has to be 20% or 40% or 10%, but when they're both common, they're accepted prices, these are values that people are willing to pay for these goods, there he says, neither price is a no. And therefore, if you want to do oino, if some people sell this for $40 and some people sell it for $45, if you want to do oino, you're going to have to use a 6 above the $45. And if you're doing oino the other way, that the lekach underpaid, you're going to have to go a 6 below the $40. What the Aruch HaShulchan, the difference between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Beis Yosef, the Chayyur is, in the Beis Yosef case, is there was no established shar. And therefore the Beis Yosef says, even if it's not established, you bring in experts, you figure out what it should be, and that's oino. The Aruch HaShulchan's case is where there are 2 established prices, where both of them are common. However, if you're dealing with a case, if you're dealing with a situation where you're above the norm, above these established prices, there, everyone would agree, it would be oino, l'kulayama. Now in practice, it is very difficult in Beis Din to establish what a price is. To go ahead and to take a survey of the stores is just very difficult.
Hmm?
If it needs a survey, both parties would have to.
Okay.
And it's entire, both parties split the cost of it. Now again, a survey doesn't have to mean, you know, in real estate you may have to hire an assessor. If you want to know the price of goods, you can pick up the phone and call three stores. It doesn't have to be a very large expense. No, you're not buying advertising, you're buying the goods. Now, which that's actually a good point to bring out. To justify the price, the seller's costs or overhead is irrelevant. Like this. Your overhead will indirectly influence the price, because if you're based in Manhattan, you're competing with people in Manhattan, everyone's overhead is going to be higher, and therefore everyone's prices are going to be higher. But if you're dealing with a situation where you have higher overhead, for whatever the reason is, that doesn't justify ripping off the customer. If your competitors who are your peers, the same location, same type of goods, sell it for less, you have to base yourself on that regardless of whether for you it makes sense, whether you're going to make money or not. Because what you do, your internal cheshbonos are not important. What we're going to look at is what the fair market value for this service, these goods, in this location. Yes. I mean, we'll see there's a difference between a pile and a coblin, but that's probably in 2 weeks. Okay, how much you pay for what your costs are irrelevant. You start... Great. There's never an issue of charging less. The issue is taking it charging too much. A buyer that takes advantage of a seller and pays him too little without the seller realizing it is going to be over Yisrael, I know. But if you choose to be Michael, you want to grab a larger share of the market, that's fine. Again, we did learn a few weeks ago about Hasagos Gavul, there are certain times you'll have problems. But if you have built a better mousetrap and you want to sell it, go right ahead.
I know that if I'm buying a can of soda in a hotel, I'm getting a package deal. But if you're like, or you're providing services, and you know that your product is superior, let's say you're a cabinet maker. You have a cabinet that's made up of that and mic. You can put any junk inside your mic and nobody will know the difference. So the share of the three looking cabinets are, let's just say, are $2,000. But you have pride in your craftsmanship, and you want your stuff. You want to get ashamed of your quality stuff. So you really put in a better wood underneath. Again, most people are novices, and I know the difference.
If people don't know about it, but its real value is more, you can charge more. On the other hand, if nobody is willing to pay, because what kind of quality wood is behind on the bottom is something that people don't care about. The fact that your expenses are higher are irrelevant. So if it's something that people would pay for, but they don't know or they don't believe you that you put it in, so if you know you put it in, you're giving a superior service, you can charge for that. But something that people, even if they know it's there, the market value for that type of goods, it doesn't increase the value. People just don't care.
It's not that they don't care. People are funny. No, I'm just saying, a lot of times you put in brake pads in the car. You can put in asbestos. You can put in metallic. And you just say, most people don't know anything. Just come in, fix my brakes.
They don't know. But if a person would trust you and you would explain to them, there's the regular pad I can put in for X, I can put in these other pads that will last you twice as long for another $20, people will say yes, unless they think you're lying to them.
No, a lot of times people will just do business. The bottom line is they have to pay because they ask prices.
So what would be if the market over here would be the market of people who understand what's going on. If you explain to them, these are premium, they will last longer, people are willing to pay that, then that's its value. Now, what happens if they don't trust you, they don't know, that's a separate issue. But if you're giving more value, you have to compare yourself to how much other people would charge for these goods.
Yeah, I was going to think that too.